You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I'm super excited about this next segment because I love highlighting great people doing great work in our community, and that's what we are about to talk about. If you have never heard about the Mission Project, it has been around for many years, and it is helping people in a way that is beautiful and impactful right here in Mission, Kansas. And we're going to bring in Dr. Avner Stern. We've got Corey Graham here with us, who's a participant, and then the executive director, Kristen Nichols. But Dr. Avner, I want to start with you. You founded the Mission Project. What is it, and why is this so important for our local community?
I was one of six people who founded it, and we wanted to develop something for our special needs kids. At that time, they had nothing. They graduated high school in a special needs yeah. class, and after that, they were told goodbye. So we wanted something different, something that could help them develop a life that they could find meaningful. And so a few of us got together and started brainstorming and worked for a year or so to kind of develop a plan. And now we have close to 40 people. 40 adults, we call them participants, mm-hmm. who live independently with some supports, but live in their own apartments, in the community. Almost every one of them works, and they participate in a variety of programs. And in our last survey that we did, we asked them about how they felt about the Mission Project.
Yeah.
None of them wanted to leave. They said, we want to stay here for the rest of our lives.
It's going to be terrifying for families because for those of you who maybe don't have someone in your life who you love who has special needs, there are so many programs geared for the children, as there should be,
right?
All kinds of support and programs for kiddos with autism and all kinds of those types of things as children. And then at age 18, what happens?
That's right. We get calls all the time from people saying, I have a son or a daughter who's 40 years old, 45 years old, sits and watches TV or listens to the radio all day long. And we want to try to get a life for them. By then, it's almost a little late because they're so stuck in that environment. But people are desperate for the kinds of supports and environments that we have, but they don't know where to get it.
Let's bring in Executive Director Kristen Nichols. Kristen, I grew up in an era, I'm age 51, where anyone with special needs was separated out in elementary school. There was a special classroom for them. They had special teachers and all of those things. As my children got older, everyone was integrated in this phenomenal way. And so how has that shaped your mission with students who now are 17 or 18, but they're used to being around peers? They want to live an independent life. In a way that we didn't see maybe back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that you're right. There's a lot better inclusiveness than there has been historically. And as Avner said, unfortunately, there are not a lot of programs that exist that help to kind of catch folks once they graduate from high school and are looking for an opportunity to continue to engage in some of those meaningful relationships, which is really kind of what has been the driver for the Mission Project and some of our new initiatives that we're thinking about. Mm-hmm. I think that in part we've been looking at that gap, saying how is it that we might be able to be a little bit more impactful in that way. And so I don't know if now is a good time to start chatting about that, but I'm happy to share a little bit more.
Well, go back to the city of Mission, because I think like just the layout and I want other cities to get involved in this too.
Yeah, yeah.
You can almost walk. Mission has exploded.
Right.
You
Absolutely.
Can almost walk anywhere. It's just really conducive to your goals here.
Yeah, no, I think, thank you for bringing that up, because that's actually exactly why Mission Kansas was selected. It is a walkable community. Most of the individuals that we serve do not drive. So that has been one of the key elements for the success of that organization. People can walk to the grocery store. Yeah. They can get to restaurants. If they want to meet a friend for ice cream or coffee, they can do that. If they needed the pharmacy. And several of them work within walking distance as well. So that has really been a wonderful addition to many of the folks that we serve.
Dr. Stern, let's talk about cost. Anyone listening who has a special needs child, you have to look at the calendar and worry about age 18, age 25, right. age 40,
right.
and specifically the cost involved
right.
with making an independent, fulfilling life.
Right. There is a cost to the Mission Project. It's not a huge amount, but a lot of that is paid for
yeah.
by state and federal benefits that someone with special needs can apply for and receive. So and plus they are able to work. So my daughter pays for her rent.
Yeah.
And pays for her transportation. The state pays for her transportation. She pays for her rent, her food. If she's going on a trip, she's paying for that. And families up to now are paying, I think, about $1,600 or so in annually, which is, for that they're getting the supports and the care and the learning more independence as they go along. It's priceless, really.
Are they living alone?
Yeah.
Is it yes. independent living?
Yeah.
Independent.
Yeah.
Everybody yes. has their own apartment yeah. and is managing that on their own. So they actually are responsible for renting it. We there are some different supports that exist that are personal care attendants that are often paid for by Medicaid and state assistance who can help with things like grocery shopping or doing laundry, maybe yeah. some meal preparation. And based on their independence level and their ability, some have several hours a week and some don't have any.
And the participants, I'm guessing, want to be independent. They don't want to live with mom and dad into their 20s and 30s and 40s.
Yeah, wholeheartedly. I think that's probably one of the coolest things that I have heard is that folks who have moved into the Mission Project have felt like their loved ones are going to be back home on the weekends or wanting to visit frequently. And the unequivocal reality is that they have very difficult times scheduling
They're
to get back together yeah, with their parents. So they've really kind of embrace that independence.
So what do you need then, Dr. Stern, as an organization? Other cities get involved, more partnerships with housing? Like where do we begin with expanding this? There's obviously a need.
We've actually helped a couple of places, one in Texas that I recall, develop their own mission project. And we also we were originally Mission Project 1, and then we developed Mission Project 2, which eventually merged. You know, I have talked to folks in other cities, and they love what we do, but putting the team together to build the program is
yeah.
very difficult. Our founders were very talented, with the exception of me. I'm not, but they were very talented.
That.
They were very organized, and they went at it very systematically. Mm-hmm. With a real gusto, and so I think that's what it takes. It takes energy, it takes commitment, and it takes a belief that this is going to be helpful. Too many parents still feel that the best place for their parent, for their adult children is with them for protection. That's something that really needs to be hopefully changed.
Okay, did it take you a long time to arrive to that with your daughter? That's hard.
The first time she had to move into to sleep in her apartment, she says, "Dad, I don't want to go there. I want to go home." Okay? And I said, "No, you're staying there."
Yeah.
And we had someone talk to her. Everything will be fine and so on. That was the last time we had an argument. Now, when she comes to visit me, she ready to go home after a couple of hours. Says, I'm going back. I have other things to do.
It is called The Mission Project, and we will be back with our guests with much more straight ahead. If you have questions, you can text those in at 913-586-7798, and we are back with much more straight ahead. Welcome on back this Labor Day holiday weekend as we welcome in our guests with the Mission Project. And by the way, the website is themissionproject.org. And I would be remiss if we did not bring in participant Corey Graham, a graduate of Shawnee Mission South. You have been a participant with the Mission Project, Corey, for 20 years.
I certainly have. This is so great.
And you, Corey, you love the radio.
I do love the radio. This is so great.
We are so happy to have you here. Tell me, what has the mission project done for you, Corey?
They've taught me how to make friends and keep friends and get a job and be social.
Yeah.
And it's really great.
And there's about 40 of you that are living in Mission, right?
32.
And you've had the same job, you just told me, for 18 years.
Almost 18 years. It's going to be 18 years on November 5th.
Okay. Where would you be if it wasn't for the Mission Project?
I would probably be alone, home alone, bored.
Yeah.
Not have a life, not have any friends, just shut out from the outside world.
It's important, isn't it?
It certainly is.
What do you like about being on the radio?
I like being here. I like sharing my stories.
I love that you're sharing your story with us, buddy. I think it's important.
This is so great.
He's so excited. Oh my gosh, Kristen, you said that he's been asking about this every single day.
He's been asking me ever since I've met Corey to be on the radio. So you're making a dream come true,
well,
Dana. Thank you,
Corey,
for that.
Your joy is infectious. And I was asking you during the break, like, how do we expand this? This is so important. And I think we're leaning in more about how devastating isolation can be since the pandemic. I think everybody realized how devastating isolation can be.
Yeah.
And then you couple that with somebody who maybe learns differently. Mm-hmm. It's so important that they have this resource.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, that's really kind of one of the goals and one of the pushes that I have really been focusing on here in the recent past regarding trying to fill a gap for those individuals who maybe have graduated. Oftentimes the phrase that is used is that folks have graduated to the couch or kind of fallen off the cliff. Like, as you mentioned, schools have such wonderful opportunity and a lot of programming that can go on until someone's 21. But typically past that, there's just not a lot that's out there to offer. We've recently found an organization that we are partnering with and starting to employ a pilot that will launch September 29th.
Yeah.
That is a live, interactive, virtual class. This is a partnership with an organization that's national who's been doing this since 2019 and has quite a bit of evidence and data on the level of confidence and successful learning and knowledge building that has went along with their programming. They have 22 courses that they offer. So we're really excited about this because it will really help to break down some of the barriers that exist. And we look at it as a bridge to help those individuals who might not feel as comfortable to be able to go to an in-person event or who might have transportation barriers or even who are geographically disadvantaged because they're in a rural location to be able to have some connectivity with others. And really, we have a group of individuals getting ready to enter our program who have started on August 18th with one of the courses. It's actually called Creating Safe Spaces Living on Your Own.
Yeah.
So it is a piece of the pilot to try to help equip them with increased readiness to be in their own apartments, because as we all know, that's a big launch.
Yeah. What is the criteria, if any? Like, what is your perfect candidate like Corey, who is going to go forth and thrive?
Yeah, that's a great question. Really, it's anybody who has a intellectual or developmental disability or autism who is wanting to gain that level of independence, wanting to live on their own in the community, and who really thrives by engagement with a group of individuals. I think that we would all say that those individuals who have started with us have grown and have really surpassed a lot of expectations that they themselves, as well as their families.
Have
had. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That it's really kind of been a dream come true for everyone involved, which is what I think is such a beautiful piece of it.
And there is an expansion team. You were mentioning during a break to me that you are looking to expand. There are other walkable cities, if you're listening. There are opportunities to provide this service.
Absolutely. We have what we call a replication team. So we do have an organization down in Austin, Texas, that has been in existence for the last 13 years. What I think is very unique about this particular model is it's a family cooperative.
Yeah.
So we have involvement from families that help this organization run. In the last year, 5,000 hours have been spent by family members to help with a variety of different things, including some of the clubs that we offer, which are really kind of the enrichment pieces of this organization. We have things like an art club, a drama club, book club, movie club, bunco, history buffs, travel club.
Yep.
There's more than that, but it's variable to kind of meet each individual need and their own self-determination for what they'd like to be involved in, which helps to do the things that Corey talked about in terms of socializing, making friends, being engaged.
Corey, what's your favorite thing about living independently, having your own space?
I like being in my own apartment. I like being with other people.
Yeah.
And I like having fun. I like playing bunco. I like it when I get a bunco, you know.
I love that.
I get so excited when we play bunco, when I get a bunco. I got three buncos one time, and that was like a record for me. And it was so great.
That is so awesome, and I want to thank you for joining us today. I love everything about this. And Dr. Avner Stern, thank you for bringing this to our attention. And more information at themissionproject.org if you're listening and you want to volunteer, right? Or other cities that are interested in this model. Oh, contact her. He's saying, don't contact me. Contact Kristen Nichols, the executive director. I have one more question for you, actually, Dr. Stern. What would you say to any family just now starting out on their journey, just now starting out with a child who maybe has developmental differences?
Don't be afraid of the future for them. They can have a future, but they need a little help, such as organizations like the Mission Project.
It's beautiful. Go to themissionproject.org. Thank you all for being with us today. Corey, thank you for coming today.
You're very welcome. And you might want to check out Three Times by Chris Brown.
Okay.
Really good.
I love that song. Yeah? Can we play that, Sam? We'll play that for you coming back, okay? You guys have a great weekend. Da, da, da. I know that we promised Corey that we were going to come back with the song Yeah, which I thought was Yeah by Usher. And then Sam mentioned to me during a break that he was not talking about that song. He was talking about another song that we most certainly cannot play on the air because it has naughty words in it.
It does. It is called Yeah Three Times by Chris Brown, and it does indeed have naughty words.
Well, you know the Usher song, he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so when he said yeah three times,
right,
I thought he was talking about that song.
Different
and
song.
And so we go to break, and Sam just goes, we cannot play that song on the air.
No. So we could maybe play like 4 or 5 seconds of it, but we need more than that.
We
sorry, Corey.
Cracking up.
I really wanted to help
that
you out.
That was absolutely delightful. We came back with The Whistle While You Work because I have been singing that song on a loop for the last 3 days since the hummingbirds discovered the hummingbird feeder in the yard.
Yeah, I could not figure out why you were singing Whistle While You Work the other day. I also couldn't even figure out why it was so familiar in my mind as I walked out of the newsroom as you were singing that song.
Yeah, it's because it's Snow White.
Because of Snow White?
It's Snow White. And I'm
leaning into this.
Surrounded by birds now. And I kind of want to talk to my birders for a little bit. We get home last night and there's a package at the door from my mother. And pretty decent sized box.
Okay.
And we get inside, we open it up, and she has finally sent me a bird feeder camera.
Oh, you got the Birder 360 or whatever
Birder
it's called?
360. Johnny put it up last night.
Oh my gosh.
And now, here's what's funny about this. I know it takes the birds a little while to find the camera.
Or the new feeder.
Or the new feeder. And I've got the app. And when I opened it this morning, it's called Birdify or something. I opened it. All it says there is it's detected movement. Okay, that movement, by the way, was me leaving for work.
Okay.
And then it just says there are no bird visitors today.
Aww.
So I know it takes a while for them to find me.
No little buddies.
But we have had so much fun with that. And my mom's birthday is actually in 2 days. I sent her a little hummingbird feeder ring. You guys think about the ring pops when we were little, the big old ring pops that you would buy at the candy store. It looks like a ring pop, but you put the hummingbird sugar water inside the ring And theoretically, theoretically, you sit there in your garden and the birds will come to you and feed from your hand.
Now, you tried that last night,
didn't
you?
I did.
And how did that go?
It didn't work yet.
Did you sit still like I told you to?
So here's what I've learned. It's hard to sit still.
For you?
For me.
Yeah.
And so I got a lawn chair, went out back, sat down. I had one ring feeder on my right hand, one ring feeder on my left hand, like a crazy person. I'm just sitting in the backyard staring.
I love that, though. That's awesome.
Staring at the backyard. And sure enough, here come the hummingbirds. There's six or seven of them. And one of them sat, I don't know, probably 2 feet away from me. 2 feet away, sat on the feeder and just hung out with me for probably 10 minutes. Just hung out, just sat there. And I was like, hey, buddy.
Come on over.
Hey, buddy, come on over.
I got some over
but
here.
I didn't want to make any like big sudden noises or movements.
Right.
So I just sat. I wore a red hat because apparently they like the color red.
How long did we sit still, do we think?
10 full minutes.
Really?
And because what it said, I've read the directions, they've got to get used to you being there. And so I just hung out for about 10 minutes and he was very curious.
They are very skittish animals.
Yeah, he just hung out and then he would dive bomb and leave and go fly around with his little buddies. And then pretty soon he'd come back. He'd sit down again. He never got right next to me. He was always next to the feeder and I was about 2 feet away from that.
So that's part of your problem.
I need to be further away.
You are an active thing. So it's going to go for the inactive feeder before it goes for the feeder.
Before it goes to me.
Correct. And so maybe go to your front yard or a different part of your yard that's further away from the feeder.
Oh my gosh.
And you may get some luck.
Yeah. I'm now
again,
crazy bird lady.
Don't move.
The phones are ringing. I'm telling you, I will talk to my birders because I never realized how calming it could be.
I mean, you're really leaning into it if you're singing whistle while you work.
In your backyard and watch the birds. I used to think only crazy old people did that. Like, I'm not full on with the binoculars. I'm not buying binoculars yet. But there is something very calming about sitting in a garden and watching those little buggers fly by. I giggled. I was like, hey there, buddy. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm talking to birds. Someone call 911.
On Saturday, we were on the boat with Mary Beth's stepmom, and she is a binoculars birder.
Yeah.
To the point where we are on the boat cruising at cruising boat speed.
Yeah.
And she's like, look over there. We're like, how can you identify it? We're going like 15 miles an hour
because
and the bird's flying in the opposite direction.
Once you start noticing them, you can't stop noticing them. It's like, what's the car analogy where you see the purple Volkswagen?
It's the Bader-Meinhof effect.
Yes.
The yellow Volkswagen.
Once you start seeing the yellow Volkswagen, you see it everywhere. I never in my life, for one shred of 1 second, paid attention to a bird. Like, I can appreciate them. And if I see like a blue heron out on the golf course or something, I'm like, oh, look, there's a blue heron. But nothing like this where it actually sort of calms me down just to sit there and watch them fly by.
You're reaching a mature age.
Well, I don't know if that's it because I see it all over Facebook where they're like 50 is the age where you start doing weird things like noticing birds. But I'm telling you, if you've got blood pressure issues, it's about the coolest thing and it's not very expensive. That little feeder I got down at this True Value Hardware for like $12, I think.
And the nectar is super easy to make.
You make it. It's sugar water.
Sugar water.
You make it, you boil it, you set it out, you cool it, and you stick it in the thing. That's it.
If you have high blood pressure, get your grievances off your chest in about an hour and a half.
Brought
to you by Q39, Championship Barbecue, Pit to Plate, Q39KC.com.
We will air the grievances promptly at 5 p.m. So listen to this. The midlife crisis is apparently a thing of the past. And no, I'm not having one.
Oh, I'm ready for this topic.
They are saying that the 47-year-old, quote, unhappiness hump has disappeared from the Daily Mail. From the movie Crazy Stupid Love to American Beauty, the midlife crisis has been the focus of many blockbuster movies throughout the years. But according to scientists, this dreaded turning point is a thing of the past. Previous studies have pointed to an unhappiness hump around age 47, a rise in worry, stress, and depression that has long thought to have peaked at 47 before declining again.
Symptoms of buying a red sports car.
I mean, right?
Who would do that?
Birding. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
According to the experts, this is likely due to the declining mental health of younger people. It's not all good. In a new study, researchers from Dartmouth College say That hump at age 47 may have disappeared. Ours is the first paper to show that the decline in young people's mental health in recent years means that today, both in the United States and the UK, the mental illness hump has gone down. So, it has not gone away at age 47.
Uh-huh.
The age with which we are seeing it has just shrunk.
Before I even clicked on the story and read the contents of it, and by the way, I put a graph on that second page for you, I immediately thought to myself, well, we're not having the depression at 47 because we're having it at 25 and carrying it all the way to 47. Yep. And by the time we get there, it's just another day. I thought that as some sort of joke, as if life is hard for the Gen Zers out there. And the study bears it out.
The study bears it out.
The new midlife crisis is in the mid-20s because people are facing the same stressors that people used to face in their 50s with, what am I going to do with the rest of my life?
Right.
They're staring down the barrel of not being able to afford a
debt.
House, not being able to afford a family, student loan debt. It is very real.
Okay.
I joked about it, the quarter-life crisis. I've had mine. I've come out of it. Sometimes I go back into it, kind of. It's real.
So the unhappiness hump, wherever it peaks, is well known, Sam, to then rebound again. Your well-being will rebound again, quote, in old age. And I don't know what that means. If the old unhappiness hump was 47, are they saying you rebound now after 50? Is it after 60? And then what is it about our older age where we are finding happiness again, where maybe in prior decades that happiness quotient went down, older people are finding happiness. It rebounds. Why?
So I think it was largely driven by, to borrow a term that Scott uses all the time, and I know it's not an original term of his, the idea of having more days behind the cart than in front of the horse.
Yes, you've watched friends bury their parents.
Right.
You have maybe battled illness of your own. You've got life experience behind you that frame all of these things.
Now, with the pressures of the early 20s, people are experiencing that much sooner. And it's not the stress of how many days do I have left to live? It's the stress of how am I going to live through the rest of the days that I have? And so now they're seeing it's more of a wave where you go a couple of years where you're happy. You go a couple of years where you're sad. There is no true midlife crisis because that depression, that concern kicks in so much sooner.
So much younger.
And there are life events that can trigger that ebb or that flow, but it never really stays constant. And if we really break it down, it comes to how happy are we with our surroundings and what are we doing in those moments to make changes if we're unhappy.
You know, I've often wondered how this younger generation will parent. Because we have seen more anxiety and more stress in our young people in their 20s, right?
Yeah.
And I have thought before, in general, not toward any one specific person, but if you're listening in your 20s and you have a ton of anxiety and a ton of stress and unfulfilled, all of those things, like if you think you have anxiety and stress now, what does this look like once you are responsible for another human being? Because to me, back in my day, the anxiety and the stress came in those childbearing years where you are trying to hold down a job. You are just trying to get 5 hours of sleep at night. Trying to keep it all together.
Yeah.
That is right when you're trying to pay for the house and school and clothing for all of the kids. And I do wonder in 10 years or 20 years, what does life look like for those who have so much anxiety in their 20s, now that we add that, it will only compound anxiety for some people.
But that's why you have to find the peace in the monotony.
Like the birds, Sam.
Exactly. You have to be able to put all of that aside and understand that I am blessed to have what I have. I've done it like 4 times in the last 5 years. I have seen those ebbs and flows in my own life. And you have to intentionally get over it. Because initially I was like, I'm just going to sit here. It'll get better. It didn't really get better.
No, you have to be intentional about it.
Correct.
Sit with the birds. I'm telling you.
913. And no, text line, Scott is not dead.
586-7798. He actually had this day off planned before the other day off that was not planned. We'll be back with much more on Dana and Parks straight ahead. Did you work 9 to 5 today? Some of you did. I always feel bad when I say no one's working today. Some of you did.
The number of texts that flooded in right after you said, is anybody out there working? It was in the dozens.
9 to 5. Mm-hmm. Dozen. Working dozens. 9 to 5. Happy Long Labor Day weekend. Royals in town tonight v. Detroit. So excited. Gonna take my Caglione jersey, although still have not seen that sweet Jack Caglione. Mm. When is he back, Sam?
He may be back by September 1, but considering the fact that it's August 29 and he's not back yet.
Oh my gosh. If we went tonight and he played, I'd be so excited. Good news for animal lovers, I think. How do we feel about this? Veterinarians are studying an anti-aging pill for dogs.
Okay.
A San Francisco company is testing out a medication that could add some time to your dog's life. It is a pill that mimics the effects of calorie restriction. About 1,000 dogs are participating in the study, which is being administered by 70 veterinarians. They say the goal is to extend a senior dog's life by up to a year or more. Exciting, but approval still could be a few years down the road.
Through calorie restriction.
Yes, yes, yes. Because just like humans, Sam, did you see the photo of the bulldog the other day that's lost, like, I don't know if it's 100 pounds, but it's something crazy. There is a photo that has gone viral of a normal English bulldog. What he looked like before, what he looked like after, does not even look like a dog. I mean, he looks like Jabba the Hutt.
So are they saying that the typical cause of mortality for older dogs is weight?
Well, it certainly doesn't help things. It certainly doesn't help things. The name of the company, by the way, is Loyal, a startup based in San Francisco. The drug is known as LOY002.
Oh, sweet Kai. You look so sad.
Oh, my God. He's enormous.
173-pound dog.
God.
Now, they're also working on a medicine right now that they are thinking may cure doggy cancer.
I saw that in the stack, too. I didn't pick that one up, but I saw it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's a headline in our stack every single week that this is going to be cured or that is going to be cured. And then 6 months later, you see the same headline, right?
I mean, what is the cure to cancer? Is the cure before you get cancer or after you get cancer?
I think you would argue it's before.
I would. That's why I said that.
Getting the chemicals out of your body and out of your brain.
That is correct.
Fighting somehow the microplastics that are inside of all of us.
I won't go down that rabbit hole because I am not a doctor.
All right. Speaking of some poor health decisions, college drinking, they have studied this, has been linked to poor academics and mental health for those around the drinker. This is college drinker adjacent, you guys.
Right. Because if you're around the drinker, you're not drinking?
It's well known that alcohol misuse can harm not only drinkers themselves, but those around them. And now a new report in the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs shows that among college students, harms such as lower grades, mental distress, and even dark thoughts are linked to being exposed to another drinker's poor behavior. We often think of alcohol's harms as physical or social, but this was the first study to assess academic harms from others drinking, like having to drop a class or take on extra work. These harms were relatively rare, yet had some of the strongest links to lower college satisfaction, poorer academic performance, and worse mental health. And I would argue the closer you are in proximity to the drinker, probably the higher the harmful effects. Is it your roommate? Is it your significant other? Yeah. It's probably not the person sitting next to you in class.
I lived with two of my best friends through college. And would I take those years back? Probably not. Would I have advised that we drink a little bit less? Oh, most certainly. And it took its toll as each of us went through our own phase of, oh, we're going to party extra hard tonight.
Then we're going to pull it back.
The other ones would, you know, follow suit. We were the worst possible influences on each other, but we had a good time.
And then this story from the New York Post. Gen Z is putting ice in their beers. Blech, and some brew heads are actually defending it.
No, they're not. What?
Gen Z has seemingly cornered the market on oddball food trends. And now culinary quirky Zoomers are dividing social media users with another gastronomic taboo, putting ice in beer to create an extra cold one. A quick TikTok search pulls up dozens of videos of experimenters serving everything from Michelob Ultra to Modelo on the rocks. It's the most refreshing way to drink a beer, gushed one caption in a cold brew tutorial. Ugh.
Now, I could see it with the lighter beers because it's basically half water already.
20% of respondents under 35 said the idea of adding ice to beer and wine.
Yeah, absolutely not,
was,
unless
quote,
it's a white wine.
Refreshing.
No.
I'm not down.
You know how you get your beer super cold before you drink it? You put it in the fridge.
Put it in the fridge.
And if you can't wait that long, maybe we need to go to the previous conversation about drinking too much and how it impacts the people around you.
Touché. 913-586-7798. We have talked quite a bit on this program about facial recognition and the faults with it. We have another wrongful arrest that is questioning the use of whether or not we should be allowing this technology. And if we do allow it, should we allow it in investigations, criminal investigations? I would argue this story is Exhibit A that we should not. We have that straight ahead on Dana and Parks. And then Festivus Friday coming your way in 1 hour.
That's
we will
right.
air the grievances, Sam.
Brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue from pit to plate. Q39KC.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.